chapter 8. First Kings chapter 8. This is Solomon's prayer for the temple. They built the temple and they're dedicating it to the Lord. And the Bible says the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. I can't imagine what that was like. But it was a time of great, great rejoicing to have this temple. And in chapter 8, 1 Kings chapter 8, look at verse 22. There's so much to read here. I'm just going to pick a few things out. And Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel and spread forth his hands toward heaven. And he said, Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in heaven above or on earth beneath, who keepest covenant and mercy with thy servants that walk before thee with all their heart. If you'll go with me down to verse 33. When thy people Israel be smitten down before the enemy, because they have sinned against thee, and shall turn again to thee, and confess thy name, and pray, and make supplication unto thee in this house, then hear thou in heaven, and forgive the sin of thy people Israel, and bring them again unto the land which thou gavest unto their fathers. When heaven is shut up and there is no rain because they have sinned against thee, if they pray toward this place and confess thy name and turn from their sin when thou afflictest them, then hear thou in heaven and forgive the sin of the servants of and of thy people Israel, that thou teach them the good way wherein they should walk, and give rain upon thy land which thou hast given to thy people for an inheritance. God is always interested in reconciliation. He is always interested in redemption. He's always interested in forgiveness. Amen. I'm so thankful for that. And he shows that in a picture here. Look at verse 37. If there be in the land famine, if there be pestilence, blasting, mildew, locust, or if there be caterpillar, if their enemy besiege them in the land of their cities, whatsoever plague, whatsoever sickness there be, what prayer and supplication soever be made of any man, or by all the people Israel, which shall know every man the plague of his own heart, and spread forth his hands toward this house, then hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and forgive and do, and give to every man according to his ways, whose heart thou knowest. For thou, even thou only, knowest the hearts of the children of men. It's a great truth there. All we have to do is turn back to the Lord. The prodigal son went away from the Lord, but when he was coming back, the father came out to meet him. Draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you. He's a forgiving God. Amen? And let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we love you. So appreciate your mercy and your grace this morning. And Lord, I pray that you'd minister to all of us. May our hearts and our minds be stayed on thee today, that we might receive the benefit and the blessing of being in the house of God, of hearing your word. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Again, Solomon is praying, and he's showing the people how to pray and how they can have their sins forgiven. I think that is great. Valentine's Day is around the corner. And when you think of Valentine's Day, you think of love. Amen? And you think of the heart. There's hearts everywhere. My wife is using those in teaching the children today. But it's a heart of love. Amen? And that's what Valentine's Day is all about. I think that's what the Bible's all about. I think that's what God is all about. God is love. God does love, but he is love. That is his nature. Greater love than hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And he laid down his life for us. As somebody said, what was the first and greatest commandment? And the Lord said, the first and greatest commandment is love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, all your might. The second is like unto it. Amen. Love your neighbor as yourself. On those two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. That's how important love is. Charity is the greatest, and charity is love in action. We love one another with a pure heart fervently. Create in me a clean heart, O Lord, a heart of love. We believe with our hearts. The Lord looketh upon the heart. My son, give me thine heart. A merry heart is doeth good like a medicine. All of this is joyful. A Christian ought to be enjoying his salvation. Amen? Enjoying the presence of God, having the comfort, having the peace, knowing that he's forgiven. I mean, that just lifts the spirits. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. But there's a verse in Ecclesiastes 7:4 that talks about the heart of the wise and the heart of fools. And there's a wide gulf in between those. There's a hard heart, a wicked heart, a proud heart, a froward heart. And in our text, it says that you may know the plague of your own heart. He puts that right in the middle of all these outward plagues, the pestilence, the famine, the locusts, all of these different plagues. And then he brings it down to the plague of your own heart. That's not something that's going on here. That's something that's going on in the heart. And when that plague comes, well, it's not a pleasant thing to have. And we'll see that in the scripture. But there's always a renewing of the spirit. There's always where the crops grow again. Amen. And we'll see that from the scripture. Be a very, very positive message on the last 5 minutes. But to get there, we might have to go down some other roads. Amen. But the plague of his own heart. A plague is a pestilential disease, an acute, malignant, and contagious disease. No one likes a plague when you hear about plagues. There were 10 plagues in Egypt. And because of the hardness of Pharaoh's heart, he kept hardening himself. When the plague would go away, he would harden his heart, and then another plague came. And there was a purpose in all of those plagues that God brought on the land of Egypt. There are plagues in the book of the Revelation, very similar to the plagues that were in the book of Exodus. In Revelation chapter 16 and verse 21, and there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. Prior to that, verse 9, and men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which had power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him the glory. That is absolutely amazing. Here the plague was brought on them because of sin, and God had the power of the plague. You would think somebody would be crying out for mercy. Amen? But they're blaspheming the name of God and they're not repenting. The old preacher said, the same sun that melts the ice hardens the clay. The same book that draws us to God drives people away from God. And here's truth. Truth abundant. Truth that brings mercy. Truth that brings life. You shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. And yet that truth irritates some people. That truth drives some people away. But anybody that has any sense or any desire for God will be drawn to that truth because it's a truth of forgiveness and mercy and love. It doesn't get any better than that. Amen? There was a plague, a terrible plague. They called it the Black Death. It was the bubonic plague. It was the worst in history. And it ravaged Europe, taking a proportionately greater toll of life than any other known epidemic or war up to that time. It lasted 500 years in varying strengths. Yes. And the epidemic killed 30-50% of the entire population of Europe. Think about that. Between 75 and 200 million people died in a few years' time. It started in 1348. That's when the plague reached London. I mean, it was called the Black Death, the bubonic plague. Terrible thing. So when it was over, praise the Lord, amen. Think of COVID. I've lost some loved ones. I've lost some friends to COVID. I had it. I was in the hospital twice for COVID. Many of you have had it. Not a pleasant thing to go through. Not at all. And there were heartaches and there were sorrows and there were fears and there was anxiety and all of these thoughts that go through your mind. And I'm out of the hospital. I remember I made it over to the window in the hospital when I was getting better because my strength was gone. And I looked out the window and I saw people walking in the parking lot. And I said, oh, Lord, if I could walk again in the parking lot, I would be so thankful just walking in the parking lot. Amen. And but then now look at me now. I'm running the 20-yard dash. Amen. Great day when the plague was over. because during plagues there's sorrow and torment, but there is a purpose in it. Five times in the Bible has this statement, the plague was stayed. Psalm 106:30, then Phinehas stood up and executed judgment, so the plague was stayed. Numbers 16:48, and he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed, speaking of Aaron. Numbers 16:50, and Aaron returned unto Moses under the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the plague was stayed. That was a great day, because that plague was harsh, it was hard, it was destructive. And when the judgment came, and there was mercy offered, they received the mercy, and that caused the plague to be stayed or to be stopped. Numbers 25:8, it says, so the plague was stayed from the children of Israel. One more, David, 2 Samuel 24:25. David numbered the people. It was a proud thing to do. It was something God didn't want him to do. And there came a plague, and people were dying. And David built there an altar unto the Lord. That's what you do when there's a plague of the heart. Amen. You build an altar because that's what reaches our heart and God's heart. And it says, David built there an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings, peace offerings. So the Lord was entreated for the land and the plague was stayed from Israel. What a blessing. When you're in the plague, you just want to be out of the plague. Even a man as wicked as Pharaoh, who is the Lord? I know not the Lord, neither will I let the children of Israel go. I don't know God. I hardened my heart. So came a plague. Okay, you can have the people. But when the plague was gone, he hardened his heart again. And then he disobeyed God. And so another plague came. Amen? And then he said, I'm in trouble again. Okay, let him go. Remember, the second plague, the first one was turning the rivers to blood. The second one was the frogs. Can't imagine that. Frogs were everywhere in your house. You stepped on them. Amen. They were in the ovens. They were everywhere. There were frogs everywhere. And Pharaoh called for Moses. Moses came and says, what do you want? And he says, okay, I'll let the people go. And Moses said, glory over me. You can read the scripture. Those were his words. Glory over me. When do you want me to take the frogs away? And Pharaoh said, tomorrow. I mean, think of that. Think how numbskull, right? I mean, so foolish. When do you want these frogs to go? Well, tomorrow, you know. Yeah, yesterday would have been a better answer. But he did that. And that's because he had no wisdom. He had no sense. And he was so at odds with God and God's people. Tomorrow. I heard a preacher preach one time on one more night with the stinking frogs. And I think there's a song like that too. And why would he do that? Because of the plague in his heart. Because of what was going on in his heart. In Leviticus chapter 13, there's a chapter that describes leprosy. And leprosy was defined as a plague in that chapter. And it was also called fretting leprosy, as fret not, worry not, fretting leprosy. And the reason they did that, fretting means to rub and to wear away. You ever rub somebody the wrong way? And what's in here comes out, right? It does. It comes out. Whatever's going on in here, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And if that heart is hard, if it's vengeful, it's going to come out here. But anyway, it's called a fretting leprosy. Leprosy was like that. When a person got leprosy, it was inward. It was systemic. And then after a time, it showed itself, and it could be loss of limbs, it could be all kinds of different things, but it was a plague, it was a terrible thing, and nobody wanted to have that leprosy. Proverbs 24:19, let's make the application to the plague of the heart. Fret not thyself because of evil men, neither be thou envious at the wicked. One of the greatest portions of scripture to read in concert with that is Psalm 73. Kind of file that in your mind. We won't take time to do it today. Psalm 73. Psalm 37:8, cease from anger and forsake wrath. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Well, yeah, I'm more angry than they are, but it still doesn't work what God wants to work. It says, cease from anger, forsake wrath, fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. You ever think about that verse? You probably read it before. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Fretting is worrying. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Here's the definition of that. If grief arise in thee, take care that it does not transport thee to sin. Because when that spirit gets affected in a wrong way, no telling what's going to come out or what somebody's going to do. There's all kinds of crazy examples of that in the world today. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, transformed by the renewing of your mind. Whatsoever things are lovely, honest, good report, think on these things. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So we cast down imaginations and every thought, we cast it down, that is against the knowledge of God. That is the plague of the heart. That's what's going on in here. And I really want to show this through the scripture. I want God to help me and the Spirit of God to open all of our hearts, because if there's a plague in the heart, all of this out here can be just the way you want it. But this is what's important. You're saved from the heart. Amen? With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. It's not about what you do. And sometimes you don't even know what's going on in somebody's heart. You don't know what's going on in my heart today. I can put on an act. I can act very happy. Amen? I can tell a joke. I tell good jokes. Amen? They're pretty funny. Amen? Amen. Okay. But anyway, there is a battle for your mind. I think Tim LaHaye wrote a book on that. The battle for the mind. There is a war going on inside of us. And that's what the Bible's talking about, the plague of your own heart. Numbers chapter 32. If you want to turn back there, you can. You don't have to. The children of Israel are getting ready to go in and possess the land. They're done wandering, and they're going to enter the land. And anyway, let's look at, where should we start? 32. Let's start verse 1. Numbers 32, verse 1. Now the children of Reuben, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers 32. Now the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, had a very great multitude of cattle. And when they saw the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead, that behold, the place was a place for cattle. And the children of Gad and the children of Reuben came and spake unto Moses and Eleazar the priest, unto the princes of the congregation, saying all these different names and places. In verse 4, even the country which the Lord smote before the congregation of Israel is a land for cattle, and thy servants have cattle. Man, it's a no-brainer. We just want this land. This is where we want our inheritance. I know it's not in the land where the enemy is. It's on this side. But we have cattle, and this is a land for cattle. It must be God's will. Amen? Well, it wasn't God's will at all. The Bible says in verse 5, wherefore said they, if we have found grace in thy sight, let this land be given unto thy servants for possession, and bring us not over Jordan. And Moses said unto the children of Gad, to the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war, and shall ye sit here? And wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord hath given them? Thus did your fathers when I sent them from Kadesh Barnea to see the land. Remember, that was in Numbers 13, that story. For when they went up to the valley of Eshcol, saw the land, they discouraged the heart of the children of Israel, that they should not go into the land from which the Lord had given them. And so because of that, they wandered 40 years in the wilderness. Because of that, they said, there's giants in the land, and there's no way we're going to win. Praise God for Joshua and Caleb. But the 10 spies influenced everybody, and they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. What a shame. We have cattle. This is a good land for cattle. Did you forget what our purpose is? We have to defeat that enemy. Drop down to verse 14. And behold, ye are risen up in your father's stead, an increase of sinful men, to augment yet the fierce anger of the Lord toward Israel. And so they came to Moses and they said, all right, we'll go up and we'll go into the land, and we will fight until the enemy is destroyed. And then can we come back and have this land? And so the Bible says that Moses said, well, that'll be a good thing. But look at verse 23. But if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. I have preached on that text. I have heard lots of preachers preach on it. But the gist of the whole story is you're not helping your brother. And because you're not helping your brother possess the land that God wants him to possess, you're not going into the enemy. You're not defeating the enemy as a concerted group. Amen. You just want to stay out of the battle. I've got cattle. This is good for cattle. You go fight the enemy. No, we all have to fight the enemy together. Amen. And if we don't do that, be sure your sin will find you out. And that creates this selfishness. It creates this let somebody else do it attitude. And that is not a good attitude in the sight of the Lord. Amen. Joshua chapter 10. There's Joshua and he's fighting against all these enemies. And there were five kings that were against him. And when Israel was winning, these five kings found a cave. And they hid in the cave. And the cave became their place of refuge. And Joshua found out about it. And he put some guards at the cave's mouth because they had to go fight somebody and they were going to come back. And so now the cave where these five kings were hiding was no longer a refuge, it was a prison. And so when Joshua came back, then they judged these five kings and they were killed. And now the five kings, the place they were is now a tomb. From a refuge to a prison to a tomb. And sometimes we have no idea where we're going to go. But sometimes we choose what's safe. Sometimes we choose what's best for us. And God has a lot to say about that. In Hebrews 12:15, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness trouble you, thereby many be defiled. Bitterness is a bad thing. Amen? You having a good day? No, I'm bitter. The whole day's gone. And you can act like, oh, no, this is a great day. But inside you have bitterness. And it's only a matter of time before that bitterness comes out and it troubles you. But it troubles other people too. It's a root of bitterness. I illustrate it as like, you ever take a big, one of those horse pills? They make vitamins that, I mean, kill you by swallowing them. I mean, you can't even swallow them. But some of them are bitter. And if you get medicine or a pill, you don't chew it. You swallow it as quick as you can. Amen? And you get rid of it. If you chew it, that taste of bitterness is in your mouth for a long time. And if you keep chewing on what somebody did and you have bitterness in your heart, that is going to trouble you and thereby many be defiled. That's the plague of the heart. Here's another one. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Jesus Christ. This is one verse. Five times he talks about forgiveness. Lest Satan should get an advantage over us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. What is the devil's device? Unforgiveness, bitterness. And it wells up inside and it stays there and it causes a plague of the heart. And we'll see that as we go on. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10. For the love of money, and listen to the verse. I really like money. I really, really, really like money. That's a joke. Love of money? Okay, the love of money. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Think of that. Which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith. That takes second, third, fourth place because it's the economy, stupid, right? The love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Well, I don't believe that. The more money I get, the happier I am. You may not recognize the plague of the heart. You may not recognize what covetousness is. And covetousness is as idolatry, the Bible says. These are spiritual definitions. This is the Word of God. Why aren't people happy? Why are they worried about the future? Why? I got to have this. And I could go on and on and on. And it's because the love of money has superseded something. And the bitterness is just planted there. And the unforgiveness, they're not worthy of my forgiveness. It's a plague. It's a plague in the heart. Acts 27:20. Paul's on a ship going to be judged, going to Rome. He's a prisoner, and there's a great storm, a big storm. They're throwing everything overboard. And the Bible says, when neither sun nor stars appeared in many days, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. I don't know if you've ever been hopeless. You've got in a situation and there is just no hope. Paul spent some time with God. He came up. God spoke to him. He said, be of good cheer. I believe God, it shall be even as it was told me. He went back to the word of God. How about this one? Proverbs 13:12. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. You hope, you get excited. Your whole being is put into that. And when it's deferred, when it doesn't happen, the heart is sick. But when the desire cometh, it's a tree of life. We have 1 Corinthians 15:19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men, you know the verse? Most miserable. If you only have hope in Christ in this life, that's miserable. Boy, heaven's a wonderful place. Amen. And we're going to have new bodies. And I know that's hard to digest sometimes, but we have to have a heavenly mind. We have to look at what God is doing for us here, not just physically, but He's using us to win people to Christ. And so many wonderful things. 1 Corinthians 15:19. Psalm 31:24. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Okay, there's an answer. If you hope in the Lord, He's going to strengthen your heart. That's going to be a good thing. Here's another one. Romans 12:12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, like we all are, right? We're very patient in our tribulation. Okay. Patient in tribulation. Continuing instant in prayer. 1 Peter 2:11. Here's another one. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. If you would go to Galatians chapter 5, you don't have to do that. But in Galatians chapter 5, it talks about the works of the flesh, and it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And they war against each other. And it's like the black dog and the white dog. You feed the black dog, he's stronger than the white dog, and vice versa. So we have to feed that spirit. Galatians 5:17. The flesh lusteth against the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other. So walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The lust of the flesh and all of these things that I'm mentioning are plagues. They plague the heart. The plague of your own heart. I don't even know many, many times what really bothers me. And David didn't either. So he said, search me, O God, know my heart. Try me. See if there be any wicked way in me. And if there is, lead me in the way everlasting. How does he do that? Through the word of God. Amen. This is the way, walk ye in it. So we follow the scriptures. Galatians, well, I guess I better say this first. There was a plague of locusts in Exodus. There was a plague of blood. That's the first one. Frogs, gnats, flies, livestock, boils, hail. That was the seventh one. The locust was the eighth plague, eighth one. You would think somebody's figuring this thing out. You know what I mean? I mean, after this is the eighth time. So look, Pharaoh. If you say, let the people go, and then you harden your heart again, guess what's going to happen? Just take a wild guess, Pharaoh. Oh, probably another plague will come. Yeah, bingo. Hip, hip, hooray, you know? So that's what we're talking about. I'm living for God. Oh, boy, I'm right with God now. There's peace. Okay? That's a blessing. There's joy. There's love in my heart. So here comes another plague, and I'm going to show you what I'm talking about that. But here comes another plague, and it gets in your heart again, and the peace is gone, and the love is gone, and the joy is gone. And you go, I better get right with God. And so you get right with God, and peace, love, and joy. Do you get what I'm saying? Sometimes we look at Pharaoh, we go, man, he was stupid. How did he not figure this out? This is the eighth plague. This plague of locusts. God said to Pharaoh, Exodus 10:4, If thou refuse to let my people go, behold, tomorrow I will bring locusts to thy coast. Tomorrow I will do that. He should be convinced by now. What does a locust do? These insects form enormous swarms that spread across regions, devouring crops, leaving serious agricultural damage in their wake. That's certainly a plague. That can be the plague of our own heart. Here's what God does to us when we get saved. We're born of the Spirit, right? Amen. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of him, none of his. So we're born again of the Spirit. That's John chapter 3. We all understand that. But there's the fruit of the Spirit. Here's the crop. Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. That's a good one. Patience or gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Boy, that's a blessing. That's a blessing to be filled with the Spirit. Amen? All of those things are true. That is great. Ephesians 5:9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Here's my crop. I'm enjoying the Lord, right? The Bible says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. The Bible says in another place, he daily loadeth thee with benefits. Here's the Spirit of God. Be filled with the Spirit. If I'm filled with the Spirit, there's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, faith, meekness, temperance. Amen? That's a good way to be. Here come the locusts. Was that good? Here come the locusts. And it's not one locust. It's a swarm. And what's he doing? You'll be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And he attacks the mind because that's where the battle is. Remember what they did to you? You remember that? Boy, I wish I had the car he has. I am so mad at them. And here come the locusts. And the peace goes. And the love goes. And the long-suffering goes. And it's all being eaten. You ever experience that? I mean, you are having a good day. Amen? And then you remember something or see somebody or get a phone call or whatever that's disheartening. And it kind of takes over. Or you're watching a movie. Like a Hallmark movie. Oh, I'm so sick of Hallmark movies. Quarter till. They're 2 hours and the last 15 minutes. Never mind. But you're watching a movie and you say, that reminds me of... Have I ever told you about the guy that I sold my Austin Healey to and he never paid me? I've told you that story 20 times. I've gotten over it now. What a bum. Anyway, there's always something. Is there not something? You can go out, you're in Myers, you're going to go and pay. And right before you get in line, somebody just goes right in there. Man, or they take your parking place. Amen? Or truck drivers. Man, we got the stories. We got the stories because you're out on the road a lot. Amen? It doesn't take much. What's road rage all about? Did that just happen? No. No, there's something wrong in here for a long time, waiting to get out. And some people are like a volcano. The heat builds and the pressure builds and builds. And then one more, what do they call it? That's the last straw, you know? And now it's all coming out. That's because there's a plague in the heart, something wrong with the heart. How do you address the heart? I'm glad you asked that. You take care of the swarm here. Satan sends his swarms, his evil thoughts. James chapter 3. The wisdom that's from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, without partiality, without hypocrisy. It's sown in peace of them that make peace. What a wonderful portion of Scripture. Wisdom that's from below is earthly, sensual, devilish. So we got a choice. The Bible is full of the Word of God. Amen. It's wisdom. It's peace. It's love. We spend time in the Word. Now ye are clean through the Word which I have given unto you. And your spirit is right and your mind is right. And be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only. And all this that we talked about, you're just interested in taking care of yourself. You're not going to worry about your brother. You're unforgiving, you're bitter, you're consumed with more money, and all of these things, and you've got the, those are what the devil's planting in your mind. And the Lord will bring something different. Amen? He'll bring you contentment. He'll bring you peace. He'll bring you love. He'll bring you all of these things. The fruit of the Spirit is all of this. But when the locusts come, it's like they eat that all up. There's a verse in Jeremiah. Let me get there. Jeremiah 29:11. God says, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. One day this will all be over. Amen? And for some, it's a rough, rough journey because of the Spirit. Not because of the circumstances, but because of the Spirit. Luke chapter 10, verse 2. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. John 4:35. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. We're to work while it's day. You can make this application. It goes outside of our heart. But the devil wants to come along and destroy that crop that's just getting ready to bloom. The fields are white already unto harvest. This is the lost souls of people all around us. Amen. And so the devil wants to mess our spirit up and our cause up and our motives up and our desires up so we won't help the Lord win those people. We need to help them. Amen. He says we're supposed to do that. But the devil wants those people all destroyed. And he tells us, the fear of man bringeth the snare. He says, you don't want to talk to them. They're not going to listen. But it's so important to do. What about in our own life, our own heart? Turn to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. The Lord feeds us with the bread from heaven. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So the word is how God feeds us. Mark chapter 4, let's begin reading in verse 14. The sower soweth the word. That's the seed. It's the seed of the word of God. And every one of these verses I'm going to read mention the word. The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately they receive it with gladness and have no root in them themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns and are such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lusts of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100-fold. It's interesting. Look what's going on today. There's verse after verse after verse. There's a portion of scripture here. There's, remember Psalm 73, you need to read that. Psalm 103, boy, that's a good one too. And you think of all these things and all the Bible that's given, but the devil's coming, isn't he? He's good at taking our thoughts and putting them on another place, another thing. Sometimes, and I've done it, I've listened to preaching and all of a sudden, I haven't listened for 5 minutes. I've been thinking about something. My wife and I will read devotionals together and Bible together. And sometimes she's reading or I'm reading. And I know when she reads, sometimes I just phase out. And then I come back. I don't know if you've ever done that. That's because this is the answer. This is the answer to everything. It's the Word of God. And then be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the Word. Because you can forget most of everything I say when you go and leave this place today. But don't forget, and maybe you can make a mental picture when you're thinking good thoughts, things that please the Lord, and those bad thoughts start coming in. That's the devil's locust. That's the swarm. And he will send it every single time. He wants to mess your mind up, because as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. And it's connected. Amen? This is the ear gate. This is the eye gate. When we read the Bible, good things are going into the heart. When we hear the Bible, good things are going into our heart. And you take away the good things, and then evil things come in. And it just wrecks our spirit. When you leave this place today, Satan will spoil your crop. And that's the food of your soul. He will take away the word that was sown in your heart. There's another portion of scripture that says basically the same thing. It's the parable of the seed and the sower. But that's in Matthew. And it says there, Matthew 13:19, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away the word that was sown in their heart. And you can come to church, you can read your Bible in the morning, and it not do a thing. Your heart, your mind is a wasteland, because it's going after other things. Love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your might, all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. That takes care of the forgiveness or the unforgiveness part. But to have God above all things in our life, that is certainly the answer. One more portion of scripture to turn to. Haggai. Chapter 2. Joel. Yeah, Joel chapter 1. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah. Did that even help? Maybe not. Joel chapter 1. Amen. This is about national repentance of the nation of Israel. And this is how God brought it about. Many, many times he will bring a plague or a pestilence in somebody's life that will be designed to bring them back to God. That's exactly what happened with Israel. And so they had all of these plagues. That was offered to Pharaoh, but he didn't take it. It's offered to people in the book of Revelation. They don't take it. It's offered to us today. I don't know what's going on in your heart, amen, or your lives. I mean, there's personal things. But here's, we'll just read, let's start in verse 4 of chapter 1. That which the palmer worm hath left, hath the locust eaten. And that which the locust hath left, hath the canker worm eaten. And that which the cankerworm hath left, hath the caterpillar eaten. Verse 9. The meat offering and the drink offering is cut off from the house of the Lord. The priests, the Lord's ministers, mourn. The field is wasted. The land mourneth, for the corn is wasted, and the new wine is dried up, and the oil languisheth. Be ye ashamed, ye husbandmen. Howl, O ye vine dressers, for the wheat and for the barley, because the harvest of the field is perished. Verse 12. The vine is dried up, the fig tree languisheth, the palm tree also, the apple tree, even all the trees of the field are withered, because joy is withered away from the sons of men. That's an interesting text. Drop down to chapter 2. Verse 12. Therefore also now, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart, and not your garments. This is an outward. And turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Look down to verse 25. And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten. Isn't that something? I'll restore the years the locusts have eaten. The devil had your mind, he had your heart, he gets it so easily, we're so easily deceived by him, it looks so good and it's a mirage. It's just, it's not true, because the Bible is true. And God wants to restore this wonderful new convert salvation. Remember that? Remember when you first got saved? Man, I just wanted to be in church all the time. I just wanted to read my Bible. I wanted to tell everybody that I was saved. My family started getting saved. And you were excited about the Lord. And he was first place, that in all things he might have the preeminence. That was salvation. Amen? But it wears away and wears away. No, I'm not going to help my brother do that. And we cause so many people to not know the Lord. I will restore the years the locust hath eaten. the cankerworm, the caterpillar, the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. And ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, that I am the Lord your God and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. Boy, is that a blessing. I told you we'd get to something really good. God wants to restore all of this. The devil wants to destroy it. Haggai 2 and verse 19. Is the seed yet in the barn? Is the question. Here's all this field, and it's all empty. Is the seed yet in the barn? What's the seed? The seed is the Word of God. So if I sow those hearts in Mark chapter 4 and Matthew 13, those hearts are ground. They're stony ground, thorny ground, good ground, all that, wayside ground. That's the heart. So is the seed yet in the barn? Yeah, I got a Bible. I know right where it is. It's on my dresser in the bedroom. I bring it to church. I come to church with my Bible. No, sow the seed. Sow the seed in your heart. Is the seed yet in the barn? Isaiah 58:12. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations. Thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. Sow the seed. Isaiah 52:9. Break forth into joy. Sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord hath comforted his people. He hath redeemed Jerusalem. If you want to start restoring that right spirit, try Psalm 103. I just challenge you to do that. Try reading Psalm 103. That'll really be a blessing and a help. Remember the song, "The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care, God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin." Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, where every stalk on earth a quill and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Psalm 147:4, he healeth the broken in heart. He does it. He bindeth up their wounds. And so the plague was stayed. The plague could be stayed today. We're not talking about a crop. We're not talking about your job or anything. Talking about your heart. That plague can stop right now. And that crop can grow, be replanted, be restored in your heart. That's so amazing. I love preaching. I love teaching the Bible. I love reading the Bible because that's where you always come. No matter how bad the story is, look at the end. Amen? It's so wonderful. The locusts may fill this room today. They may be flying all over the place. What did one guy say? He says, you can't keep a bird from flying over your head, but you can keep it from making a nest in your hair. Amen? And they're everywhere. There are all these thoughts. Here's the verse again. Casting down imaginations and every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You're going to think some bad things. You're going to covet. You're going to be angry. You're going to be unforgiving. You're going to carry bitterness. You're going to be worldly. Whatever it is, that's what we deal with. That's what the devil's temptations are. If they weren't, you know, there's pleasure in sin for a season. Remember that verse in Hebrews? There's pleasure in sin for a season. That is absolutely true. But it's only a season. You can't take that with you into eternity, and it's going to mess up your life. But he couldn't tempt us if it wasn't tempting. So when he puts those thoughts in your head, your mind, don't listen to them. Don't listen to them. Use the helmet of salvation. Just use the shield of faith. Don't let them into your heart. Build an altar, and you'll be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How did we do? How did we do today? Did we break through anything? Is there something in your life that God rang a bell and said, yeah, this is it. I need to spend time in the Word. I need to live the Word. I took French in high school. I took 3 years of French. And I don't know when I told these illustrations. I probably told them last week, but it seems like a longer time ago than that. But I took 3 years of French. We had French names. We weren't in third year French. We weren't allowed to speak English in class. We read French. We spoke French. We had French names. And I remember our teacher. This was way back in 2004. And my third year in high school. And she said one thing. She says, if you don't use it, you'll lose it. That is really true. We should be memorizing the Bible so that when the devil comes, it is written, then the devil leaveth him. It is written. You have a problem with pride, covetousness, whatever it is, there's Bible verses for it. And you just quote that verse. Amen? Sometimes I love Psalm 23 because I've memorized it and I love it. And when I start thinking bad, I just do the whole Psalm over and over and over. And that helps me. Sometimes I'll go other places, but that really helps me. Try Psalm 23. It's easy to memorize. Amen. Do you get the gist? Amen. If you're here today and you've never received the Lord, that's exactly where the devil wants you. Yeah, if that's a Christian, I don't want anything to do with it, you know. And that can keep people away from God. Let's just keep the locusts out of our head. Because they'll eat up the crop. Let's bow our heads, please. Father, thank you for your word. It is so powerful. It is so precious. So cleansing. I pray, Lord, that you said evil communications corrupt good manners, and they sure do. When we hear the wrong thing, how it troubles our hearts, gets us thinking the wrong way. Bless our minds, Lord. Bless our hearts today that we might be used of you for your glory, see people saved and helped. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.